Welcome to the deep dive. So today we have a very specific mission.
Almost surgical, I'd say.
Exactly. We're taking one single piece of source material. It's a research summary. And we're going to treat it like a complete treasure map. The source is titled Excerpts from Successful Partial Service Home Sales, Case Studies.
Right.
Now, when you see a source title that basically is the summary, you know exactly where the authors landed.
There's no mystery.
None at all. So our entire deep dive today is just unpacking that one core finding, that one sentence. Case studies reveal success in partial service home sales.
Yeah, and that brevity, it's not a lack of info, it's confidence.
It's a confident conclusion, and we really need to figure out what that tells us about the housing market, right
This
now.
exactly. When you get a summary that's this direct, you're getting the bottom line first. And for you, the listener, that takeaway is, well, it's pretty profound.
How so?
A market strategy that's been viewed with skepticism for a long time, this partial service model, it's just received clear, documented validation.
So we're not here to debate if it works.
No, the source confirms it does. Our job is to drill down into the context. What does partial really mean? What does this success actually look like? And, why now?
Okay, let's jump right in and unpack that, starting with the activity itself.
Let's do it.
So the key term here, the thing that defines the whole activity, is partial service home sales. And this is, I mean, it's basically the antithesis of the traditional, full service brokerage
The
model.
one that's dominated the industry for
For
decades.
decades, yeah. Think of that traditional model as the all-inclusive resort package.
Right.
You pay one pretty hefty price, usually that 5 or 6% commission, and you supposedly get everything: staging advice, negotiation, all the closing coordination.
And the very existence of a paper like this, one that documents successful case studies, it implies a pretty significant consumer revolt against that whole all-inclusive idea.
Oh, a vault, yeah.
Historically, those real estate commissions have been fiercely protected and, bundled together, but partial service, that means consumers are saying, "Hey, I want to unbundle this."
So we kind of have to guess what that unbundling looks like in
Well,
practice.
we can infer it, right? The partial elements are usually where the consumer, the seller, steps in to save some money. So a successful model probably lets sellers buy just the high-value tasks, things like getting listed on the MLS, the multiple listing service,
That's critical.
or professional photography, specialized legal contract review, while the seller handles the more time-intensive stuff themselves.
Like scheduling and running their own open houses.
Exactly. Or even negotiating directly with the buyer's agent.
So it's more of a tiered service, a menu of
A
options.
menu, that's a great way to put it.
So if the old model is 6% split between the agents, a successful partial service seller might only be paying, what, 1% to get the property listed and manage the key paperwork.
That's the idea. And that means they're saving maybe 2, even 3% of the final sale price. That's real money going directly back into their pocket, their equity.
But the question this source makes me ask is, why now? Why is this approach suddenly having documented success? It has to imply a certain maturity in the market, right? It suggests that the technological hurdles are
All
gone.
kind of hurdles.
Things like easy digital contract signing or high-quality online marketing platforms. The bar for managing it yourself is just lower now, making this partial approach actually viable.
Absolutely. The technology is the scaffolding. It's what makes it possible. But the shifting consumer behavior, that's the demand. I mean, consumers are so much more educated today than they were 20 years ago.
Because of Zillow, Redfin,
Yeah,
all of it.
of course. They can already gauge pricing. They can monitor their own neighborhood traffic. They can even take pretty decent photos with their phones. This model just taps into that confidence. It says, look, you're competent enough. You handle the non-technical stuff. And we'll handle the heavy lifting on the technical and legal side.
And if the source is focusing specifically on success, it's not just talking about sellers who tried this.
No.
It's talking about sellers who won with it, who came out ahead. It means they likely got a competitive sale price and realized those big cost savings.
Which confirms that for a growing slice of the market, the risk is absolutely worth the reward.
Okay, so let's shift a little bit. Let's talk about the evidence
And
itself.
methodology.
Yeah, the methodology. The source is very clear. The evidence comes from case studies.
And that's a critical distinction. It really deepens the meaning of the word success here.
Why is that?
Well, they didn't just do a huge quantitative survey, measuring volume or savings across thousands of sales. They chose to do deep dives.
And for anyone who understands market research, we know that case studies promise, well, they promise applied knowledge. They tell you the story of the success. It implies a really rich documentation of the circumstances, the market variables, the specific choices the seller made. It's less about a general trend and more about a replicable playbook.
That's the key. That's the whole distinction. If the research was just statistical, like 35% of partial service sales saved X amount, it could lack context.
You wouldn't know why.
You wouldn't know why. But case studies, they reveal the environmental factors. They let you see, for instance, if this model only works in a hot seller's market or...
or if it also works in slower markets.
Right. Maybe it succeeds in a slow market because the cost savings give the seller more room to negotiate on price.
But I have to push back a little on that because this is where the tension is, right? If the source is explicitly focusing only on successful case studies, doesn't that create a huge risk of survivorship bias? We're only seeing the winners. How do we know the whole model isn't just riddled with failures that the research ignored?
That is a crucial, critical question. And the source's quotability really does hinge on how the authors addressed that, how they selected their cases.
Which we don't know from just an excerpt.
We don't. However, the very fact that they're emphasizing case studies reveal success suggests their goal. They're trying to establish a robust proof of concept.
Okay, so not necessarily a reflection of the whole market, but proof that it can be done.
Exactly. They're trying to show that not only is success possible, but that the mechanisms used in those successful cases are solid enough to deserve a closer look.
I see.
So the value, then, isn't about generalizing to everyone. It's about analyzing the applied knowledge. The case study should basically function as a map.
A map detailing what, exactly?
The exact combination of services they chose, the seller's level of sophistication, the pricing strategy, everything that delivered that positive outcome. They should be providing specific examples of how they manage the risk. And that's what a learner needs to know, how to avoid the pitfalls.
So the case studies aren't just saying, hey, this works. They're identifying the formula.
That formula, yes.
They're telling us that under specific documented conditions, maybe using a certain digital marketing package plus an expert legal review, the model works and works really, really well. And you need that level of detail to overcome all the skepticism in the market.
You absolutely do.
Okay, let's focus on that core conclusion, that one. Unambiguous finding. Success.
It's a powerful word.
It's a very powerful word to use in research, especially when you're talking about market disruption. It implies the outcomes weren't just okay or acceptable. They were definitively positive.
Right. Not just it worked out.
No. It was a success. So we need to define what that really means here, not just for the seller, but for the entire partial service industry.
Okay.
For an individual seller, success is probably threefold, right? One, getting a competitive price. Two, realizing big savings on commission. And three,
maintaining control over the process without it becoming a nightmare.
Exactly. Without undue stress or, you know, a huge time commitment.
And for the industry itself, success validates the whole business model.
How so?
It confirms that these partial service providers are scalable. They're sustainable. It shows they're able to offer just enough support to make sure deals close smoothly, which is the ultimate test for any real estate service.
That's a great point. If these providers were constantly seeing deals fall apart because of, I don't know, missing paperwork or bad negotiation,
the case studies wouldn't be confirming success. They'd be documenting failures. Furthermore, the success of this model puts immediate, intense pressure on the traditional full-service brokerages. This finding basically screams to the market. You don't have to pay a premium for services you don't actually use anymore. It's a clear signal to everyone, incumbents and investors, that the market is shifting for good.
It's shifting toward unbundled services.
Just like we saw happen with travel agencies years ago. It's the same pattern.
And that's where this gets really actionable for our listener. If you're out there and you're a potential seller, this research is basically a green light to go explore your alternatives.
It is.
It confirms that the big fear, the idea that if you cut the commission, you automatically risk your final sale price, that idea is just flat out contradicted by documented examples. These successes prove you can hold on to your equity while selling effectively.
And if you're a market analyst or an investor, the confirmation of success implies something else. It implies that the underlying tech, the support systems for unbundling, they're mature now. They're ready to invest in it.
This isn't just a flash in the pan trend.
No, this is structural market validation.
Let's go back to the partial service part again, but look at it through the lens of success.
Okay.
It shows that whatever was unbundled, It wasn't mission critical. The seller successfully took over tasks like showing the home that maybe brokers had monopolized before.
And in doing so, they proved that those specific manual tasks, they weren't actually worth the tens of thousands of dollars in commission fees they used to command.
Wow.
That's the financial bombshell inside the word success.
It totally redefines the value proposition. It shifts the whole conversation from paying for handholding to paying for expertise and access.
Specifically, the legal and market access you need to get the deal done.
Okay, let's unpack this one last time. Let's synthesize what we've really extracted from this one powerful statement. We've gone beyond just the words to what this research means for the market.
Mm-hmm.
First, we established that the focus on partial service home sales confirms this growing consumer demand for flexibility, for cost control, all enabled by tech.
Which makes that traditional 6% model feel, well, unsustainable for a lot of people.
Then we analyzed the weight of the evidence. We noted that relying on case studies means the success is grounded in the real world.
It offers replicable mechanics, not just broad statistics. And yeah, we acknowledge the risk of survivorship bias, but the big implication is that detailed, successful playbooks now exist.
And finally, that one big word, success. It validates a permanent shift in the market structure. It's empirical evidence that sellers can get a great price while keeping more of their equity by choosing this segmented path.
It's a green light.
It's a huge green light for alternatives.
It's really just a very efficient transfer of knowledge. In a few minutes, you now know that this segmented approach isn't a theory anymore. It's a proven, viable model, and it's backed by research. For anyone trying to navigate the housing market right now, that insight is, it's just crucial for making smart decisions.
And what's so fascinating is that this research really hones in on the real bottleneck in the industry, which has always been the cost of the service.
The commission.
By proving that success can happen with just partial engagement, it forces everyone, the buyer, the seller, the broker, to rethink what's an essential service versus what's just an optional convenience.
Yeah, that's a great summary.
So let's wrap this up.
So as a final thought, the one singular, crucial piece of information you can take away from this source is this. The existence of documented, case study verified success within the partial service home sales industry.
The disruption is no longer theoretical.
It's proven. It's here.
And that brings us to our final provocative thought for you to carry forward. It builds directly on that idea of success.
Okay.
Since the success of this model is confirmed by these case studies, the secret ingredient has to be in the unbundled services, the partial bits that the seller took on themselves.
The things they did instead of the agent.
Exactly. If the transaction was successful, it means the seller effectively handled things like showing the home or managing the negotiation schedule. So the question for you to think about is this. Which parts of the selling process are actually the least valuable when you measure them against the cost of a full commission?
That's a fantastic question.
That's the real insight from these cases. Think about the labor you can efficiently monetize just by doing it yourself. That is definitely something worth mulling over.
Absolutely.
Thank you for joining us for this deep dive. We'll see you next time.